Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Morning, you're on the air.
Hello, morning. Am I on?
Yes, please.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
That's pretty good. I just want to make three comments here. And
okay.
First, before I make my comments, I want to give my condolences to Miss Ellis. And what I admire about Miss Ellis is that, you know, he stayed with the station a long, long, long time. I'm sure he has had the opportunity, even working overseas, but he was sincere to this station from way beyond this long, long, long time ago. So I admire him for that. And he conducted the program on Friday, and you won't believe that he had a death. You know, the way how he conducted the program, cool, you know, and you won't believe that he had a death in his family. I admire him for that.
Very difficult.
I admire him for that. Mm-hmm. And my next other comment is, sometimes the Minister of Health comes through with a kind of tone that I don't really like. Sounds like he's talking to children, you know? He sounds like he's talking to children, or he's speaking from a military point of view, you know? You've got to be able to talk in a different kind of way, but not in that demanding kind of way. That's why I don't understand. And sometimes he says one thing, and the Attorney General comes, and he says something different. For instance, a couple of days ago, I heard the Minister of Health saying that we are looking for nets closed down again because the numbers are twice the amount. I thought if we left with the Prime Minister to say that, I thought she would be the one to make that final determination. But he actually came out and said that. So he actually said that we are looking for another closed down. And instead of the country opening back on the end of March, the way we spoke is like we don't go until beyond March. That's the way how it came out to me. So that's my contributions for today.
Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. What a morning I'm having over here. Please call us 434-1790, and I hope I will have no further difficulties. Let's hear who's on the air.
Good morning, Welcome. Ma'am. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Right. First, I want to send my condolences to David Ellis. I wish him all the best. He's a very good journalist. Secondly, I want to congratulate and say thank you to VOB and Jeff Broom for that homeschooling there that he does with his children on the program on evenings. That is very, very good.
Oh, you mean with Uncle Jeff?
Uncle Jeff, yes.
I enjoy it as well. Exactly. I am not doing the common entrance, but I do like it.
And I would do something, not only you know, a lot of parents will be there taking in the schooling, you know. They're taking a lot of the schooling.
My son did Common Entrance already, but I still listen to it. I find it enjoyable.
You go back and learn some more. Secondly, right, I want to speak about the central bank governor speaking about the blessings. I don't know if you're aware of the blessing circles.
Yes, it is something that I raised on this program since last year that I am very concerned about. But you tell me your view.
Well, I can tell you something. I have a number of friends that are in it, right?
Yes.
And a couple of them was very disturbed to hear the central bank governor speaking of it. Because in their opinion, right, when you go to the banks taking out interest in this, interest in that, and they're taking money for this and taking money for that. And people are saying that when you go to these circles, you don't have that problem. It is a big risk. But they prefer to go and take that risk than to go to the bank. I don't know if you fully understand what happened with that blessing circles, right?
I think
you have a circle there on the side of the red. Eight persons are in that circle. And then you got the blue, which will bring four people in that circle. Mm-hmm. Then you got the brown, two persons in that circle, and the one in the middle is where you get the blessings. But in order for you to get your blessings, when you enter, you must bring in two persons with you, must bring along two persons with you. So when you throw your $2,700, you bring in two people with you, and you move up, you keep moving up. And as they bring, and those two persons bring in two, and you move up, and you move up, and you move up. And
at the end of it, you understand how it works.
When you get blessed with $21,600.
But let me say something to you, if you don't mind. When people are now unable to find further four people to bring. What happens to those who are somewhere in the middle of the chain? And there are many people who have put their money in and who have come out very unhappy because they can't get out either the money that they put in or the money that they are supposed to get. And although there are people who have had success with these things, especially people who got in earlier phases, there are other people who have been significantly burned by these circles. So I am very concerned about them as well, especially if people are using the limited resources they have and are risking losing them. So yes, it is true. The banks do charge us money for just parking your money on the bank. But there's one thing that we have with the bank or with the credit union, which is the assurance that when you go back for your $100, it will be there. Or, well, some of it, it might be $95 if they're charging you $5 a month. But we can't guarantee that with the blessing circle. And furthermore, there are people who may be actually getting out of these blessing circles having stolen other people's money who were further down the chain, down the pyramid, or further away in the circle, you know, the outer rings of this circle. So I would really caution people to be very careful with this. Do not put a cent in there that you can't afford not to get back. That's all I would say.
As you rightfully said, right? You may enter and feel happy you enter in, but then you cannot get the other two persons that you must get to bring it in. So if you can't get two persons bringing you there on a stick up, and you're $2,700 going through the chute for nothing.
That's
but
right.
All I'm going to tell the public of Barbados, be careful how you go into these blessings. If you know you can't afford it, do not enter it. Don't mind there's a group, there's a system now you don't have to go in by yourself. You could go in with a partner of two or a partner of four. But who's to say the other partner is going to find the money? Mm-hmm. And all I'm telling the public of Barbados, be careful. Be careful.
Yes.
And these hard times out, you got to be careful where you spend a dollar. Because you don't know where you can get the other one from. You understand? And all I'm telling the business public, stay safe, stay home, and please, please stop the congregating, and everything will be okay. And persons going out there, the COVID monitoring people, they got to be very careful how they handle people. I was fortunate to be with my aunt last week, and the COVID-19 people came down with the police, and they went by a shop opposite me, and when they went opened the lady's gate and went in by the shop. The lady said, well, who did you open that? The man said, if I COVID. He said, but I ain't too coming there. Here, lock off, we open that there for. He said, I see you got a man here, and nobody should be congregating in no shop and buying her. He said, he is not buying her for that. It's my man. And the man said, that's my girlfriend. He said, well, let me tell you something. I warn you, if it's in the prosecution. I said, what warning, if it's in the prosecution? For having a shop open. You must say, my shop is not open. That is my man. And the man said, that is my woman. I can't visit my woman. And I said, well. Then they went down below at the house below. We're three
you're
persons.
You're supposed to stay at home. You're not supposed to be visiting people. So even so, there was a problem, right?
But that's his girlfriend. I'm very, okay. I'm going to look for his girlfriend, and he wants his woman. He wants to make sure she's all right. And then below now, below the house, below, three of the persons in the house were sitting outside. And they were outside drinking a beer. And the gentleman told them, listen, one can't be congregating on the outside. The man said, but I heard the attorney general said, as long as you within the curtilage of your home, it could be on the outside. And we outside of our house. This is nobody who, this is three of us live here. And we decided to come outside to get some fresh air. And he tell them if they don't go inside, he will have to arrest them and take them away. Because there's to be no gathering. He might say, I can't be gathering at my house. But all is well as well. They left and left the guys there. But all I'm telling Bob about, be careful, stay home, and you won't got no problem with the COVID team nor the police. Come in the house, they can't just come in the house so unless they got a warrant to come in the house or something.
I hope that is true. Thank you very much for your call and have a good morning. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mrs. Dr. Haynes.
Yes.
Yes. Nice to encounter you again. Over this weekend, my Alumni Association was getting together. It's the first time for me in this Google Meet or Zoom to discuss a matter to look at how we could assist in any way. And these people were from around the globe, England, America. One is a professor, one is a UE lecturer here and so on. And we were looking at how we could help our former school, which happened to be Parkinson's School.
Yeah.
And they came up with the idea of purchasing computers and tablets for some of the students at the school. But I advised them that it might have been better to get some feedback from the school as to the status of computers there, because maybe all of the children have computers and maybe the school has enough computers before we can go and invest in that, and probably we could invest the money elsewhere.
Okay.
And yeah, and I was saying that on the basis of what came out of a call-in program a Sunday, some Sundays ago, where we had as guests on the show, we had the chief education officer, we had the permanent secretary, and other people too, like the unions and so. And at that meeting, and on that show, the permanent secretary, what she said and what the chief education said was significant and informed my opinion about being cautious about buying computers for the school. And I want to look at what they said. Now, this is Betty Allen Headley, which is permanent secretary. She said that from March last year, we had to immediately put ourselves in position for online instruction would now become the future of schools in Barbados. That sounds like a policy position to me, right?
Mm.
Right? Now, she followed it up by saying the government made a provision of a few million dollars to purchase devices from Kenya. And she said the amount was 21,000 computers, right? So this is what's guiding my thoughts, because so many computers are being bought, right? What I would have been concerned, though, to know was if this amount could satisfy all of the schools and the children, but being that I don't know the population, the total school population, I don't know if this will satisfy or if there were to be more. However, she said, this could not be accomplished soon enough. In other words, remember last year, March. She's talking about last year, March, right? Remember, we had just gone into COVID, and there was a little panicking at the time. So they wanted these computers immediately so that children can begin to do online learning because COVID came suddenly. And she went on to say, this is the purchase now from Kenya. Could not happen soon enough because of the distance and the logistics. So, she said in response, the government made a plea for Barbados, which I believe would be corporate Barbados, and the diaspora for immediate assistance to supply laptops and tablets to children. And they had a target of 10,000, of which they received between 8,000 to 9,000 computers, devices, right? So last year, March, between March and near around March, the government received between 8,000 and 9,000 computers, and she said that it left a deficit of 11,040. She went on to say, pardon me?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Right. She went on to say that with the deficit, this 11,440 computers deficit, and the delay, the government then put an alternative mechanism in place. This was to get more devices. And the government purchased locally 9,000 devices.
Now you can saying that everybody should have one by now.
Well, that's the conclusion I am coming to. But more. I wanted to know now if the government still had ordered them from Kenya or not, since they had gotten all of these ones locally, right? Now, she said that these ones that they got here, the 9,000, included laptops, tablets, and MiFi. Now, I didn't know what MiFi meant, but she started to explain that it was the equivalent to Wi-Fi incorporated into the device because they were aware that some children didn't have Wi-Fi at home. So when they issue you with a device, you also had Wi-Fi with it, which is good. And also,
yeah, it's basically like a data plan.
Right.
That you have on your cell phone.
So you will have to pay to, or the government probably would pay for it when the government.
I believe they are either paying for it or they're getting sponsorship from one of the telecommunications companies.
Right. So all that has gone on here is very commendable, right? Because it is an immediate response to an urgent problem. So I am not knocking this, only to say that that all group may be doing the wrong thing in purchasing computers. But it's more to it than that.
But aren't there other ways you can assist? I mean, there are still people that seem to be without devices, because I did see in the Sunday paper that there are still children in the Sunday Sun. There are still children who are accessing school on cell phones, which is far from ideal. So I think you may need to find out if there are children at your school who actually still require devices. But I think people need other kinds of assistance. I think we get very caught up in the technological end of this because the technology gives you access. But having access to a class does not necessarily mean that you are going to be successful in your studies. So there are other kinds of support that I think we need to offer to our learners at different levels.
I agree with you, but there's some questions I would like answered. And you may not be able to answer them, but I would like those in authority who run this ministry to answer these questions.
Okay. I hear you.
Well, I hope so too. How many computers are actually in receipt to date?
Good question.
How many are actually received to date? Mm-hmm. And if they can be broken down into the different device types. And if you receive them, have they all been delivered? And and tell us if all of the schools are covered. Because if all of the schools are covered, it means that we could look at something else to do. But I want to make another point here that the officer said as well too. Others are expected to arrive in the island in 2 weeks. So I am assuming now, she was saying this on the 17th of January, so more computers were coming in again, you know. And I want to know if the ones originally to be ordered from Kenya are still on order. I want to know that as well.
So we need some clarification as to how many devices we have received,
right.
How many people require devices, and what is the status of the devices that were supposed to come from Kenya, how many, how will they be used? You want more clarity on what is happening with the rollout of these devices for students.
Yeah, I want a little update. Now, if I give me a few more minutes, I could just say a little thing about the contribution now made by Joanne Addison, the chief education officer, because a very important point came out here too. She said that at the press conference in December, led by Santia Bradshaw, the Minister of Education, they were aiming to reopen schools face-to-face. However, things changed because of COVID. And they were advised by the Ministry of Health to start school online. So as a consequence, school was delayed 1.5 weeks. So it started on the 18th of January. But this is the point that is significant to me. She said training had to be organized very quickly to bring teachers up to speed, beginning with the ITCs. And Erdison had to put on several training programs over the last week and a half, and the training is ongoing. Now, tell me, since this occurred in March, and the devices start rolling in March last year, and they had online teaching in the second term, which was the March term, and then some online took place in the last term that ended in December. where it is that training for teachers, given the fact that they had a policy, that the permanent secretary said they had a policy, now learn online education now becomes a permanent part of learning in Barbados. That's since March last year. Why would teachers now have to be rushing and putting all courses suddenly in one and a half weeks to meet the need of supplying online education for this term? Don't you think that that could have been done before? And if you look at the fact, school was on vacation since the 10th of December, why it is that even in the vacation on, the training could not have begun? Why must we wait for a disaster or an event like this to begin preparation?
I always wonder
about these things about teachers. You're going to tell me you get 8 weeks vacation in the summer.
Are you? But that's vacation, you know? Vacation, not training time.
Listen to me. Who in the world has got 3 months vacation a year? You understand
teachers.
That? Teachers. Okay.
Yes.
But
we have to go to a break. I'm sorry to cut you, but there's one thing I wanted to say before we go. And which is that when you're teaching, I am not a school teacher, but I do teach at university. And when you're teaching, there's always something to learn. You always have to be thinking about different ways of doing things. And when you're using a new modality, there are different layers of teaching. One is the basic, the mechanics.
Right.
So how do I do this? But then you have to teach differently when you're teaching online. And I think for many who are teaching, this is an ongoing trial and error learning process.
But
I mean, I understand what you're saying, that we should be prepared. We shouldn't be so reactionary all the time. However, I think that this is a significant learning curve. But we have to go to a break, and I really thank you for your interventions this morning.
Okay.